Well, Barbara, I enjoy talking about angels. They're such an important part of our lives. But before we get into this third message, why don't we pray?
All right.
Father God, I thank you for the message on angels that you so detailed for us in scriptures. Father, you've told us 394 times about angels throughout scripture. So Lord, forgive us for not being more interested in your servants that you have all named. All of them have a name. So today, as we begin to talk about the word and about your angels that you've sent to perform service for us, let us rightly divide the word of truth. Let us know more about the spirit world in the powerful name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We know of over 394, Darren, that are specifically called angels. But angels are called other words in the Bible besides just angels. And we have heard them called flames of fire, mighty warriors. And if you look those up in the Strong's Concordance, they don't mention them as angels as such, but they give them different names. So I'm sure there's probably over 425 or 50 times that angels are mentioned. And we see them as instruments of indignation in Isaiah. And we see them as winds and flames of fire and as ministering servants in Hebrews 1:7. They have many, many different names. In fact, at one point in Isaiah, I believe that Father God calls them stars, because we also hear them called stars in Revelation 1. So there are just many names for these wonderful, wonderful supernatural beings that protect us and help us. And we do have kind of a list of what angels do for us. And those of you who have been listening to this message, you know that they are there for you. They are there for you today, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. These angels announce and tell you of future events. They give you assurance and hope and comfort and strength. These angels warn and deliver you from danger. These angels fight for you and they destroy the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. That gets me so excited, Darren. They protect us on every side.
Well, you talked about Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. It talks about them being winds and flames of fire. But in Hebrews 1:14, it says they are our public servants. And I'd like to read that out of my New American Standard Translation here. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?
Praise God.
And when I think about Psalm 103, verse 20, where it says they're mighty in strength, performing the voice of the word. Well, when we speak the word of God, they're listening. They're listening to the word, and they're eager, and it's by their design and by their creation. They're going out and perform the word. So when we pray for things to happen here in the natural world, the ones that carry that out are the angels of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he has created them to do that,
and
they are our servants.
That's right.
And what the Lord told me yesterday when I was praying, he said, now, they're not family. They're servants. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really powerful. God's created these various types of angels to do specific functions and minister to us and for us and go out and protect us and take care of us. I'll tell you, it's an awesome study, this matter of angels.
That's right. There are so many scriptures. We're just going to go over a few scriptures in the Old Testament before. We've got to get into the New Testament. It's so important. But in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So your angels are there not only to rescue you, they're there all the time. And they are at your bidding. I hope you can see that in the spirit, that angels are there to help you. And in Psalm 78:25, when he rained down manna upon the children of Israel, David says here that man did eat the bread of angels. So we know that angels' bread is manna. And that's kind of interesting. I realized that when I read that. In Psalm 91:11, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
I think that is such a powerful scripture.
Isn't that? And their hands, Darren, have got to be big, because they're going to lift you up and bear you up in the way that you're going. If you're going to be destroyed or anything, they just grab you and carry you off in their hands.
They must be mighty. Oh, yes, they have to. Well, they're mighty. We know they're big. But the angels of protection are for our children, for our family. And I think about so many people that put their children on a school bus or on a city bus, or their families are commuting, and there is concern because mm-hmm. you're separated from them. And I think one of the terrifying things for parents is to think, now, what if my child needed something? They couldn't even get a hold of me. They couldn't call me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be there to assist them or rescue them or protect them. Well, one of the things we can do, because the angels are our servants, and we just read that scripture in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all, not part of them, mm-hmm. but all ministering servants mm-hmm. sent out to perform service with those that inherit salvation? Well, I think about some parents that are in one part of the city, their kids get on a school bus, they go across the city, or if they live in the country, they're going many, many miles on country roads. And I remember when I was a principal in northern Colorado, I had little kids get on a school bus. In fact, it was a car. They were in that vehicle 1 hour before they got to school. And it was the same way going home at night.
I was.
You were. Well, you were raised in the
yep,
country.
Yeah, that's right, for about 12 years there.
Well, now, if that's the situation at your house, and we may not be talking about little kids, we may be talking about college kids or whatever, but people that we care about, we can assign these angels. Now, if they're servants, mm-hmm. they're assignable.
That's
I mean,
right.
You can give them a job to do, and there are angels of protection. It makes that very clear in Scripture. There are angels of warfare. And I believe that we can address them directly and say, I just command you to go with my children today. And I like to pray this when I'm out on the highway. I want you to go ahead of me and protect me. And whatever might be out there that I might run into or might run into me, I want you to clear the path. Mm-hmm. I want you to protect me on both sides, top and bottom and behind me. I don't want to get rear-ended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe we can pray prayers like that. So if I were praying for my children, I would pray like this. I would say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I send ministering servants, the angels, to protect my children today.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I send the angels of warfare to do war with the demons that would come and try to hurt my children, to destroy them, to bring agony to my household. Lord, I send them in the name and the blood of Jesus, and I declare my children are protected.
That's right.
Now, the real trick here, if I could say there's a trick or the real challenge, is to know the word so well that you get the rhema understanding that you have the power, the ability, the privilege, the authority to send these angels out to do that. I cannot tell you what a comfort that is when we pray for our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones, to know that God heard our prayer and the angels are doing what we've asked them to do.
Yes.
And I don't have to go along with them. I don't have to check on them every 5 minutes. Well, you can't anyway. You know, you really can't anyway. And some of you are concerned about your children on the playground at school or, you know, with all the stuff that's going on today. You see, we have more protection for us than the devil has enemies against us. And you really got to know Scripture so well that you have that confidence in your heart. There are more for us than there are against us.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of you never use your angels. You're using the worry button far too much. You need to use those angels.
I believe there's some teaching here today that is going around, Darren, that we have to tell them in the name of Jesus to do things. And I believe that's very good. But as we saw in Ezekiel and in Zechariah and in Isaiah, they carried on, these great prophets of God carried on conversations with the angels similar to a student teacher. They'd ask a question, the angel would answer it. They'd ask another question, an angel would answer it. They didn't go through a lot of protocol. They talked to them just like you and I are talking now. And I believe once you realize how comfortable you can be with the angel of God that is surrounding you and protecting you, you can talk to them as we are talking right now, Darren. I believe that's so important, to be comfortable with the angel, to be free to talk to them as Zechariah did and as Ezekiel did. And I believe that's very important. If we have to feel like we've got to go through a whole bunch of protocol in order to direct our angel or talk to our angel, it's going to cause a lot of confusion. I truly believe that.
Well, I think it's unnecessary protocol.
I do too.
I mean, I don't think it should be there. But Joshua the priest in Zechariah chapter 3, it said, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing right in front to accuse him. Now, we talked about this before.
Yes.
But the story goes on and said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you. And then he goes on to say at the very end of this portion, thus says the Lord of hosts. And he's speaking here to Joshua the priest. If you will walk in my ways, if you perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts. And here's the payoff. And I will grant you free access.